The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with even 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. Vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Anyway, you know, each day I'll try to do a talk on kind of on the theme sort of the article that I assigned for that, for the reading for that day. And today it's peace, and which, as I mentioned yesterday in the introductory notes, is the quality that the Buddha emphasized the most, is being at peace, and that's what training is going to bring you to. And a lot of times we're just following. We're not at peace because we're getting caught up in our desires, what we want and what we don't want. And we're reacting to that, and we're getting, you know, and the way we know that is we are getting frustrated, we get angry, we get worried, we get, you know, with what's going on, or we even can get elated or excited at what we're getting. And one of the qualities, again, the Buddha emphasized was equanimity, kind of realizing that both when the good comes, it's okay, but it'll pass. When the bad comes, it's okay, it will pass. And in the deeper place that we're trying to find in our practice, it's not being affected by the ups and downs of our life. And that the very bad things can often be giving us what we want, pointing us to a deeper place. And actually, if you want to know what will probably be the thing that will help you really grow spiritually, it's actually the difficulties in your life. We don't usually grow from when everything's going smoothly and, wow, life is great. In fact, people often stop practicing when they do that, and people often turn up, like at my temple, oh, they have cancer, something goes wrong, something's a problem, and suddenly they feel like they need to practice. And sometimes I even notice that when things get better, they'll stop coming, you know, like, okay, the real suffering isn't there anymore. Maybe I don't need to practice. And we have to, though, look at what the roots of our real suffering is, and it's that mind that's not at peace, that's churning with things. And then we don't even notice how we're generating the suffering, and we don't even recognize how we're generating suffering, because we'll be just allowing ourselves to be filled with worry, filled with discontented feelings, filled with senses of failure, senses of inadequacy, senses of other things. And one of the ways we find peace is trying to take the Dharma to heart. You know, what is the teaching of the Buddha? What is the teaching for how I should approach whatever's going on right now? And all you have to do is think, if you had a printout of your thoughts today, how many of them would be in harmony with the Dharma? And how many of them would you think, if you asked anybody, they would say, that's not right thought. And we cannot stop the non-right thought from arising, because that's the nature of karma. I can't have it that if my car dies on the freeway, immediately I go, all acceptance. I have to deal with the fact that part of me is going to be saying, no, I don't want this. You know, even why is this happening to me? You know, whatever the thought that arises will be. But then how quickly can I kind of let go of it and realize, okay, this is where I am. And a teaching that I like to apply is that to remind myself that if I don't feel it's good to be here, I'm being deluded. You know, whatever's going on, this is a place I can find the Buddha. This is the ground of it. Instead of thinking the conditions are making me suffer, that's not the Dharma. we're making ourselves suffer. Or as I always like a line of Ajahn Chah, that when we suffer, we're not suffering from the difficult conditions. We're suffering from wrong view. And that means is that how we look at that is making it suffering. Like when the car dies on the freeway, where's the suffering? I remember going camping, and I'm camping in a fairly, driving fair into the woods, into down a dirt road and a ways down, and then I'm gonna about to drive halfway through my trip, drive back into town to get some more ice and food, and it's a long drive in just 20 minutes just to get to the road, and my tire goes flat. And I have to just think, okay, and, you know, just kind of realize, okay, this is okay. I'll deal with it. It'll be what it'll be. It just means I'm probably going to, you know, as it ended up, spend the whole day dealing with this. And when you break it down, where's the problem? Where's the suffering? And it was okay. It just meant, you know, I had to wait for, you know, to get a tow truck out there because I couldn't change my... In fact, the next touch was the fact that I had never changed the... done anything with the tires, and I pull out the thing to move the... whatever it's called, the wrench to do the lug nuts, and it was the wrong size. And I had never checked that since I owned the truck, which was a long time, but it never occurred to me. I have the wrong size thing, so I actually couldn't even change the, you know, kind of change the tire if I had wanted to. But that's just, you know, the nature of karma. But it's good to be here in the sense that this is, even when something goes wrong, if you don't get caught up in it, it is what it is, and there's not suffering in step by step in what happened that day. It was perfectly reasonable. Nothing was hard in and of itself, except, you know, I wasn't doing what I had planned on. Some more money was being spent that I didn't want to spend, but there was no choice on that. And you just accept it. And part of to be at peace, what we have to do is pay real attention to what we're telling ourselves. Suffering doesn't come out from what happened to you. It's how you interpret what happens to you, the same way as what I'm giving this story about is, in a way, I just kind of try, you know, took it step by step, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't become a problem for that reason. But, you know, just like when you have worry come up, the worried thought is not, training's not going to stop, like, a worry from arising, but how do you deal with it? You can either lessen it by keep letting go of it, reminding yourself it's not okay, or you can keep making it worse by holding on to it and doing what we've all done, which is spending an entire day mindlessly worrying, just making ourselves suffer uselessly. Because what we're usually worried about is things that we don't control, and we're just scared of it. And often you have to just try to trust the Dharma that in the end, even if things don't go your way, if you don't make a problem out of it, you'll take it step by step. And I can remember somebody, a common thing, somebody's really worried about their job. You know, they think they may lose their job. They were in technology, and they were always the oldest person wherever they worked, and it was getting harder to get work. But unfortunately, the reason they were going to lose their job wasn't anything about them. It was their boss was going to lose his job, and they would lose their job when their boss lost their job, and they had no control whatsoever on how the boss was doing. So the person's kind of trying to tell me, you know, I can't sleep, you know, at night, all these problems, how they're, that word, consumed with worry, okay, being eaten up with a strong feeling. And I said, oh, I knew the person very well, so I could say this fairly bluntly. Really simple solution. Except that you may lose, it'll be okay if you lose your job. And I get a heartfelt no. It won't be okay if I lose my job. Ended up, they lost their job and it actually was okay. You know, they did get another job and, you know, it wasn't anything big deal, but they were. And if they didn't get a job, they would have, you just would have had to deal with it step by step and just do whatever it is, you know, and, because, you know, the suffering, you know, comes from just not willing to embrace where you are. And even if it's, you know, and I can be around people, you know, who are, I remember years ago when I was still here helping give the precepts to a woman who was dying of bone cancer, and the cancer was so advanced that they couldn't give her enough pain medication because it would kill her, so she was in all this pain. But she decided as she was getting close to dying that she's really want, you know, that this is what she really needed to do. And when I asked her, I remember how she's doing, she said, this is the best I've ever been in my life. And when you looked at her, she looked like this was the best, you know. She looked glowing. And she just said, it's a shame she waited till now. And the thing is that the conditions aren't making us suffer. It's our, how we approach it and what we tell ourselves. And you can't, there's no easy solution in the sense, wow, tell yourself the right thing and you can let go of it. This is why it's training and a practice. I can have a worry come up and I have to keep telling myself and keep telling myself and keep telling myself each time it comes up, or each time I'm aware that I'm doing it. And sometimes I could be doing it for an hour and not be aware I'm criticizing or complaining or saying something. And to be at peace, you have to kind of, okay, how do I be at peace now? And bring my attention to, you know, just be grateful for washing the dishes, for having something, for eating something. You know, it's a gift. Why am I just thinking of what I'm missing? And that's the way we suffer, is we just focus on what's wrong and all. And that's why one of the things, way you find peace, is a way of looking at it, is you have to create a spacious mind and a spacious heart that can embrace there and realize it's just a small piece of what's going on. And think of it, when we suffer and we're filled with something, how we concentrate and narrow our minds and hearts, almost the way something will happen and somebody will even tell me, I'm never going to be happy again, you know what I mean? Or this is like just being overwhelmed by the feeling and just concentrating on the loss, on the thing, rather than just realizing it's in a big picture. You know, it's just a condition moving through us and it's going to come and go. The feeling's going to come and go. The sense of the problem will come and go. Everything comes and goes. And if you don't focus on it, you can have a sense of openness and spaciousness that allows things to just come and go. The worry comes and goes. The joy comes and goes. The whatever it is comes and goes, and we don't have to cling to whatever it is. And just do it, and our heart can realize this feels good, this feels bad. Okay, so it's just a feeling. There's nothing solid going on. And when we allow our minds and hearts to cling to our, I want this, we have to trust that there's something deeper than the want, and that's the faith. And often you don't have the faith. You know, we all at times lack the faith that it is okay if this happens. It is okay if I don't get what I want, you know. And we have to try to cultivate the faith that allows us to embrace it. And it's not easy. Just like I can't tell somebody that somebody will have something disastrous in their life, and I can have compassion for that, but I can tell them that in a deeper sense it's okay, but I don't know how to get them to find that. That comes out of their own training and practice, you know, and I can't give somebody my faith. But my faith may help them. Just I've been around people where just the fact that I was okay with it helped them to be okay with it. Just like some of you probably have read it already. There's an article on suffering. And the fellow in the concentration camp who was at peace actually helped other people to be at peace. Even though he was the only one who looked okay in the camp. And, you know, so but it's easy, and it's good to have compassion for yourself that in a way it's hard to do this. It's hard to trust that it's okay not to get what you want. It's okay to have something go wrong. It's okay that you are facing some difficult conditions, whatever they are. It's okay that you mess up. You know, just like as a Buddha, you know, I remember reading something where somebody wrote, it's really good being a Buddhist. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to blow it. Well, it better be okay since we all do it. You know, it's a part of life that you're going to get some things wrong. And in a way, we're trying to cultivate a mind that has space for whatever happens without making a problem out of it. A problem's the way we define something, you know, like this shouldn't be, you know, and we have all these shoulds in life. Rather than seeing whatever it is, rather than just recognizing it is whatever it is, in the sense that naturally things that aren't done, things that are going to cause problems, it would be nice if they weren't done that way, but that's the way things are. Just like, it's funny, a number of the people here have listened to me a lot, so they've heard me say this endless times. And people will still come up to me in counseling and say it to me, which is, somebody did something, and they'll say, I wouldn't have done that. And I kind of think, it's amazing that there's something you do better than somebody else. Secondly, often, you know, they're doing plenty of things you wouldn't, better than you. Thirdly, if you were in their situation, you might have done it, since you don't know. Frequently, they would, and frequently, actually, I've even looked at the person who's saying, I wouldn't do that, and I think to myself, I see you do that all the time. I don't really feel like telling that to you because you're going to find it a little rough to hear that. But, you know, but they're actually hard on people in that way, and that's not because they're trying to be bad, they're just not aware. You know, it's like often people are hard on us and they're not even aware they're being critical and hard. We don't often see what we're doing that well, and that's part of training, is we don't fully see the ways we are, just like, I always like somebody, you know, I remember somebody telling me, you know, something that really helped them in their practice was recognizing they are the burden that other people are putting up with. You know, they're the obstacle for others. And often we don't recognize how much that's true, that all of us at times are the thing other people are putting up with. And usually we're not conscious of it, luckily, you know. Just like I remember a sobering thing when I was a young monk here, is I was in a room and people actually outside the room didn't realize I was in it, so they're discussing me. And I have to listen to people saying things that they wouldn't have wanted to say to my face. And I thought, oh well. And doing it, but... you know, and often we want to say one of the reasons we're not at peace is we're pushing it away, that we're demanding something to be different. And unless we're looking at what we're asking for, you know, and that's a key thing in training. If you have a difficulty, what are you really asking for? And try to clarify what it is that you're asking for. Because the problem will you know, usually can kind of clarify when you see, I want things this way. I want the person to be this way. I want to be treated this way. I want the world to be this way. And the hard one is, I want to be this way, you know, and not being willing to be at peace with who we are. And it took me a while in training to realize that actually I'm trying to be something that I'm often looking at myself thinking I should be a certain way and asking to be a certain way. And in a way, nobody was that way. You know, I mean, I was at a monk at the Abbey, and I thought people, a lot of people were doing good training, but if I really thought about it, they were often behaving in ways that I thought was unacceptable for me to do. And of course, I shouldn't cultivate doing them, but it's just the part of humanity, of the karma that we all have, that fact that we're going to be making mistakes. We're going to have problems that take a long time to resolve. And so it's very important to see what you're asking for and what you're telling yourself, because the suffering comes really out of what you're asking for. If you can be at peace and content with where you are, you've stopped asking for things to be different. It may be good if they're different. Same way as if my car dies, it would be good if it moves. Same way as if I'm in pain, it would be nice if the pain goes away. But hell, I've counseled people with dreadful chronic pain. you know, do they have to be suffering? And actually, sometimes they're not. You know, the suffering isn't in the conditions. The suffering's how we approach the conditions. You know, and you would think this makes you suffer, but actually, you know, it really isn't the reason you're suffering. The reason for suffering is you're asking things to be different. And on a practical, and on a one level, yes, if you, they could be different, same way as if I'm hungry, it'd be nice, really hungry, it'd be nice to eat food, but I can still be at peace with being hungry. You know, it'd be nice if, somebody wasn't upset with me, but I can still be at peace with them being upset with me and realize, okay, that's, you know, it's just somebody making a mistake, and try to have compassion rather than thinking, how could they behave this way? When actually, people behave that way all the time. That's part of the human condition. It's not like amazing that somebody, you know, let's say loses their temper or is selfish or insensitive. You know, those are true of all of us at times. None of us will always be, you know, doing the right thing. So we're trying to tell ourselves the Dharma, you know, which is, you know, there's a karmic reason for everything that's happening. You know, people making mistakes, they're being driven by something. You know, why do you have this strong desire, this strong fear? You know, there's a karmic reason for it. And you have to have compassion for that and try to accept it and deal with it. And then you can be at peace with both what's you're having difficulty with and peace that other people are having difficulty with it. You know, and one of the ways we create spiritual, you know, find ourselves not at peace is we add, you know, that very human thing is the Dharma is usually fairly simple on a lot of points. Like one of the simplest teachings is the Second Noble Truth. Suffering is due to attachments, due to our desires, due to the fact that we want this and not that, you know, that we're picking. And it's normal that on a one level we want this and not that, that we have a desire. It's, training doesn't get rid of our desires. It stops us from clinging to them. So we can have a spacious mind that if we get what we want, good. If we don't get what we want, that's still okay. We would prefer always to get what we want. We always have, somebody will tell me, it'd be nice to practice Buddhism and not have any preferences. No. we always have preferences. I'm never going to go to a restaurant and look at a menu and not have a preference. I want this and not that. I want people to treat me well, not poorly. You know, I would be depressed if somebody hacks into my, you know, bank account and takes the money away, or I even had brief identity theft. You know, I don't want any of these things. I don't want a dreadful illness and all the rest. I don't want any of you to have a dreadful illness and all the rest. But if it happens, can I accept it? All acceptance. And, you know, so we qualify the Dharma by adding a but this is, you know, but this is a reason to be upset. This is a good reason to be angry. And often we feel like, and we don't actually realize that when we're getting angry and upset, we're actually just hurting ourselves. That the worry, all these, the clinging to things is just making us suffer. Sometimes people actually think that in a way they're hurting someone else by being angry with them, when actually they're hurting themselves. They might hurt somebody else, but they're actually, it's like swallowing poison thinking, but they're, you know, and maybe you can give some of the poison to the other ones, but you're still swallowing it yourself. And you're not really hurting somebody by not having compassion for them, by being upset with them. And you're not, just like you're not helping yourself by being upset with yourself. You know, okay, if you can do something better, it's good to do it. If I make a mistake, yeah, I'll probably feel bad about it. And that isn't anything wrong. That's just, you should feel bad about making a mistake, you know, doing something harmful to others. But we're trying not to judge ourselves and make it like there's something really wrong. It's just, it's a mistake and it feels bad. Just like if I do something good and make somebody feel good, that's nice. That feels good. And but we let go of both of them and just try to accept what's going on. And so that's why if I feel like something is a problem, the Dharma is to tell myself there isn't really a problem here in a deeper sense. On a practical level, of course, things can be problems. You know, if I go back to my room, you know, and my computer died that has all my notes in it for the retreat. Luckily, they're on the cloud too, so it wouldn't be a disaster if my computer died. I could get them back, but if I couldn't get them back, it would be fine too, or just, you know, or even had the interest, you know, but, and if you don't have the notes, that's fine too. You know, and if something happens that stops the retreat, it's fine, you know, it's okay. And, you know, and that's part of the training, is just the willingness to accept the conditions. And that leads us to finding a peaceful heart that isn't disturbed. You know, what they'll say something like in the scriptures, you know, to be disturbed by nothing, to be completely free, which is the journey's end. But the way we find it is, how do we deal with each worry, each fear, each thing that's getting in the way? Because there's no way we can jump to the end, the journey's end. You have to take each step. And each step is, how do I convert this desire? Not all desires. How do I stop worrying? You can't stop worrying. You can only stop this worry. And you only stop it by each time it coming up, from letting go of it. And you can say, but it keeps popping up. Well, you keep letting go. It's like in meditation. If somebody asks you, how do you still your mind? Well, each time it wanders, bring it back. And somebody says, but it doesn't seem to get quieter. Well, it's going to be noisier if you don't do that. The same reason, if you don't let go of the worry, you're just letting it grow, feeding it. The same way as I've often had situations where something happens and I tell myself, oh, I shouldn't get upset about this, it's okay. And then I walk away and mentally complain for the next few minutes. And a few hours later, I'm fairly annoyed at the person because I turned the wheel the wrong way. I allowed myself to complain, you know, to mentally complain about something. Well, if I had been more mindful, I could have kept letting go of it and reminding myself of the Dharma, telling myself the Dharma, it's okay that they did whatever they did, you know, that they got something wrong or they hurt my feelings or they were unfair or unreasonable. Of course, that's part of the human condition. People, if you want to deal with people, they'll be unreasonable. Just like I remember, you know, I've told people, like somebody will tell me, you know, something like they're at a workplace and something going on is really unfair. And I, you know, remember, you know, and I remember somebody having a real hard time when I told them, why do you expect things to be fair? You know, it's nice if they're fair, but things aren't always fair. And actually, your fair is not even the same as someone else's fair, because I've had people think something is unfair, and I looked at it, I thought, no, I agree with it. You know, I think it's fair. They're just looking at it from a different angle, and it's just opinions. It's not like there's an absolute on anything, and that's why you can always, whatever you do, you can look at it from a different angle, and what you think is right can be wrong and all the rest, and you just accept that's just life. You're not going to get everything right in doing that. And but to kind of take the Dharma to heart allows us to bring our life in harmony. And the second noble truth, when the suffering is if we don't ask for things to be this way, you know, it's nice if it's this way. And the way it comes up, it's like the Buddha said, when the first verses in the Dharmapada, which is the most famous Buddhist text, a collection of the Buddha's sayings, is, he abused me, he beat me, he hurt me. He who harbors such thoughts will not advance on the way. He who abused me, hurt me, harmed me, he who abandons such thoughts will advance on the way. Very simple teaching. If you want to, you know, it's not that you're saying that you weren't abused or anything else. You just, if you cling to it, you're not going to advance spiritually. And I've had endless people over the years tell me, that's simplistic. And it's not. It's straightforward. It doesn't mean, though, often we interpret it, and there's a concept in that I've liked in spiritual that I've read that you can use called spiritual bypassing. And it's become a popular concept because it's a way you can use the teaching to bypass dealing with stuff by just telling yourself the Dharma, like, oh, this is all okay. This is like no problem. The saying no problem doesn't solve the fact that you still have to deal with the fact that you have the feelings and the thoughts and the anger or the fear, and you can't just bypass it by telling yourself the Dharma. You have to be willing to be open to what you're feeling and what thoughts are arising and see better what's going on so you can really learn to let them go rather than just thinking you can push them away by just telling yourself the Dharma. It's keep telling yourself the Dharma and also recognizing what you're feeling. You know, because anger, you can still be angry. Like, it's, you can tell yourself it's okay, but you're still upset about it. And you have to be open to the upset and be willing to feel it. You know, because the feeling is probably there. And the way most of us have actually recognized this, have you ever had it where usually in a relationship, at some point, something goes wrong and what somebody actually suddenly gives a list of all the things the other person did that bothered them. I think most of you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like suddenly you get a burst of, why did you do this? I mean, I've had it with my fellow monks. Somebody will suddenly be annoyed at me and tell me, why did I do this 15 years ago? And I kind of look at them like, okay. I wish you had talked about it then. You know, because the case I'm thinking of, well, yeah, I did forget to tell you that, but I just forgot something, and I didn't really, the person interpreted it like I meant to forget it when, I meant to ignore it when I, positive, I didn't just forgot something without thinking. But you'll get a list of all these things that have bothered you, and you've often pushed it away by saying, I shouldn't be bothered by that, when you have to really look deeper at why it's bothering you, where the worry is, where the fear is, what's really ongoing when you're not at peace. And then you can see better what it is that you need to let go of, and more or less what's where the real problem is. Because if something bothered you, just saying it shouldn't bother you isn't really making you, because to see clearly, and it's like, I always like some of the teaching of the Sharangama ceremony, where it goes through every disaster that you can face almost in life, but symbolically, and you say everything, and you just keep saying, by being mindful, may I be cleansed of whatever it is. But that if you can see it clearly, you'll see that there's really nothing there, whatever it is. That's true of everything, the good, the bad, the indifferent. In a deeper sense, it's just things arising and passing like dreams, and there's nothing to hold on to. Somebody make a mistake, it's like a dream holding on to a dream. We're doing it. Why do you even care? And if you see everything clearly, and that's what makes training work, is when you see clearly, it's like there's nothing really solid there. Somebody had an opinion of you. What's more ephemeral than an opinion? Yet most of us can remember people's opinions from teenagers that they had of us. Somebody said this, somebody said that, somebody did this, somebody did that. And it's all like a dream. And you look back at it, where is, where? And it's so a good question always is to kind of think, when something hurts, what's really hurt? Really, what's hurt? Your feeling of who you are, where's the hurt? Like somebody criticizes you, what's hurt? And I've spoken to people who practice a very long time, and somebody will criticize them, and they'll tell me, oh, I was damaged by that. Where's the damage? Where's the hurt? What's going on? Their opinion is just an opinion. Their view was just a view. What are you taking to heart? And what we want to take to heart is the Dharma, that everything is the Buddha, and there is no problem. Anyway, that's probably... we'll have the Dharma discussion and questions and things like that this afternoon. So both people on Zoom and people here, if this raises anything, it even can motivate what I'll talk about tomorrow, since, I looked down and I kind of smiled. I did a mental calculation on how many Dharma talks I've done since I'm in Berkeley, and I think it's somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000. So I'm used to talking. I can talk about things. So anyway, I'll say the three refuges and end the talk. Homage to all the Buddhas. Homage to all the Dharmas. Homage to all the Sanghas.